You are listening to Shining a Light on Memory Loss, 30 powerful minutes aimed at helping you and your family better understand a topic that touches everyone in our community in some way. Shining a Light on Memory Loss is sponsored by the Benson Area Memory Loss Network.
Hello and welcome. This is Laura Thomas. I'm a member of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network and your host for the show. In our last episode, we heard from two experts from Big Stone Therapies, speech therapist Angela Thorfinson and occupational therapist Courtney Rittenauer, about how their services can help those experiencing memory loss. All episodes can be found at bensonradio.com/memory loss after they have aired. So if you missed it, you can listen anytime. Today, we welcome Swift County Sheriff John Holtz, who will share about the memory loss experience from a law enforcement perspective. Welcome, Sheriff Holtz. Thank you for taking the time to share with us today and walking us through some of the ways that law enforcement gets involved with people with dementia. So are there certain types of calls that you often receive or situations that you commonly encounter?
The situations that we encounter are all over, anywhere from, you know, I think my parents or my spouse is having problems trying to remember, all the way to finding people alongside the road saying, I'm trying to get from point A to point B, and they are a long ways away from where they're at, and they don't really know where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Let's say that that call comes in, and there's someone that doesn't seem to know where they are or how to get where they're going. How do you respond to that sort of call?
Well, we respond to them. We get there. We try to do our own assessment. You know, we talk to the people as calmly and as we can to figure out exactly what's going on, to see where we can actually step in and actually assist them. Mm-hmm. And then with the evaluation of that, we try to figure out, is it a medical issue or is it something to do with their mental status at the time? We try to figure out exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So what if you sort of come to realize that the person is having memory issues?
It depends. There has been times that we've been able to figure out that it is a memory issue by, you know, finding out who they are. They live in the area, or let's just say if they live in the area, we kind of like ask them some really simple question. It's like, do you know where your address is? You know, how do you get from where we're at to your home or your address or where you're going? We try to do it that way. There are times there, and there's been several times where we've ran across people who are or have been reported missing, you know, from other counties or even other states. We've had other states where, you know, once we find out, get their license, driver's license, run their name through our state database, there have been flags stating that this person is actually considered vulnerable, missing from either whatever county, city, or state.
Well, that's scary.
It is.
So let's take a step back then. What can a person do if they are concerned that maybe a family member or a neighbor shouldn't be driving anymore?
We get that question a lot. And a lot of the times we say, well, who's their family? You know, sons or daughters, you know, even brothers or sisters. It doesn't matter what age they are. Mm-hmm. We put it back onto the people that are asking their questions and saying, well, what are they seeing? You know, are they seeing that when they pull up to the garage, they bump the garage door before they open it, and then they open it, and then they drive in and drive until they touch? Mm-hmm. Just try to figure out exactly what they're actually seeing, and then try to give them answers of, well, you know, do you know who their son or daughter is or close family member who checks on them? And if they can't come up with anybody, we'll try to come up with somebody who is their loved one or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk with them and kind of explain to them. It's like, you know, we seen your dad driving around the other day. He's got a lot of dents or different things on the car. Mm-hmm. Or he's pulled out in front of people. Always runs this stop sign, you know. Mm-hmm. We think there's an issue, so then we tell the have the family start the conversation the best they can.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any suggestions for how to start that conversation?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways. It really comes best from the family members, from the kids or whoever.
Hmm.
I do know for a fact that it always kind of comes back onto the kids later, or it can.
Mm-hmm.
The parent is really mad. It's like, they took my keys away and now I can't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Go for a ride with the person that you're having concerns about.
Hmm.
Take some mental notes, as long as it's safe. Take some mental notes of what they're doing. And when you get back home, it's like, so, gosh, Dad, how are you driving? Do you feel like you're driving adequately?
Hmm.
Or do you feel that, you know, you can't see as far, or you really don't know where you're going?
Mm-hmm.
And just take some mental notes. Hey, let's go over to Russell's farm. As long as, you know, wherever they know where they should know where they're going. And if they make a wrong turn, it's like you need to make a mental note of it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I do recommend is not talking to them as they're driving or pointing out, hey, you took the wrong turn or something like that, because you could get into an argument while they're driving, which can be very unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
With that type of conversation, and then you kind of can move it into, it's like you say you really don't have much of a concern, Dad or Mom, but you know what? This is a very difficult thing to say, but we really have some major concerns on your driving habits.
Hmm.
And then you slowly point out what you know for a fact. Do like a cop. You kind of gather the evidence, look at it and go, gosh, this really needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
But before really addressing it, if you have other siblings, bring them in on it. At least tell them or talk to them and say, this are my concerns with Mom and Dad. This is happening or that's happening. So you really need to have the whole family with you, because that way it's just not, well, John's the one that said that I can't drive anymore, but Mary says I'm fine with it. You go ahead and drive, Dad. But you don't want to have the parents or just one sibling being picked on or cycle out. It can really turn into an ugly fight. I've seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
When you bring up the safety things with whoever you're talking with, you also need to also be like a used car salesman and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really difficult to do, but you also have to remember that if you're trying to get your loved one off the road due to whatever reasons, you also have to remember that you could be saving somebody else's life or some other type of injury.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they do or whatever get into an accident.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So as you were talking, I was noticing that instead of a confrontational approach, you really described a conversational approach.
Right. I would say the reason why I do it this way or have done it this way is in my job, most of the time, any of my backup's not close. So I'm going to be explaining and trying to sell it the best I can instead of getting into confrontations.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps that way too, because when somebody gets mad, you can't make a good decision if you're mad.
Well, this is so helpful, because I do know this is a difficult conversation for people to have. You mentioned using sort of car salesman techniques or sort of selling a person on the idea. What are some of the practical tips or suggestions that you would give us to use in those conversations?
You're pointing out flaws, but yet you're not being down on them because of this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you really can't see very good because you are getting a little bit older, which is understandable, like everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
Your eyesight isn't the best anymore. So maybe you should cut back on driving.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the eye doctor here in a couple of weeks and see if we can't get an appointment just to see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just different avenues that way.
Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned sort of the bottom line of what would happen if you ended up injuring someone because of these sort of bad habits that you said or choices that I noticed you were making when you were driving.
You really have to be able to talk and even bring up the, hey, you know, when we were heading over to Russell's farm, did you notice that you went right through that stop sign?
Hmm.
Granted, you know, thank goodness nobody was coming, but we can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So yet you have to be the used car salesman, the son or the daughter, but yet the parent to bring it all together to be able to, it's like, hey, we really need to have this tough decision here.
So is there a route that a person can take if they have a family member or a loved one, or maybe they're noticing someone with real dangerous driving behaviors? Is there somebody that says, I am not going to stop driving. I refuse. Is there another route that a person can take to prevent that driver from staying on the roads?
There are a few. We've ran across, actually, we just got done assisting or talking with a family member probably over a month ago that they actually went and disabled the car. Hmm. They took the battery out of the car, mm-hmm. even though the one who was driving actually called one of the local fix-it shops and said, hey, car doesn't start. So he come and put another battery in, but they didn't know at the time.
Sure.
You got to be very careful with doing some things. Mm-hmm. But on the other part is it's not something that we recommend, but it you just have to really get to that point. They're really being very evasive and saying they're not going to be doing it. Sometimes you may just have to say, well, you know what? Maybe we need to bring you in and talk to the doctor, maybe get a driver's eval through the doctor. Or there has been times where a loved one has called and said, hey, dad just left the farm. He's refusing to stop driving. He's all over the road. If you have a deputy in the area, maybe if you see any driving conduct, pull him over, which we have done. We've seen lots of different driving conducts. And then the officers, either the city officers or the county deputies, even state patrol, we have a form that we can actually send into the state where the state can actually revoke a person's driver's license until they've been cleared by a physician.
Sure. Well, that's good to know that there are options out there if they need to be used.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sheriff Holtz, what tips do you have for neighbors or community members who may be concerned about someone showing signs of memory loss?
Try to get a hold of the family and just say, hey, have you noticed this? Is this, are you guys working with this or anything else like that? Another thing is you can contact, if it's extremely bad, you can contact the County Human Services.
Okay.
And then there's also another contact. If you're computer savvy enough, you can go on to the internet and do like an adult protection. There's a complaint form. It's under M. It's called MARC reporting, M-A-A-R-C, I believe it is. I hope that's
it
what
is. It is.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Good. Because we get those reports, and then so does Human Services, and then that opens up a case where the professionals who work with this more, even farther than law enforcement, then they get a report, and then that puts everything on our board that we know that something's happening.
Mm-hmm. So if a person is hesitant to make a MARC report because they don't want the person who they are filing that report about to know, what would you say?
Well, you can stay anonymous on those reports. It's one thing that I'm seeing that a lot of people is like, well, you know, I really don't want to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, and I tell everybody, get involved, please.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could be actually saving their life, in essence.
Mm-hmm.
They could be, you know, showing these signs and not taking care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when a person doesn't take care of themselves, their health dwindles, everything dwindles. And unfortunately, as a family member, sometimes you don't see it because you don't want to see it.
Mm.
You know, it's very difficult to see your parents go through situations like this.
Mm-hmm. So neglect is a form of abuse. And if a person is, if it's self-neglect, if a person isn't able to care for themselves anymore, that really is a valid reason to make a MARC report.
Yes, exactly. Yep. And we get a few of those, but I do feel personally that there should be more of those reports coming in.
Okay, that's great to know. We'll be right back after we hear from some of the members of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network and what they offer to our community.
Cares Health Rice Hospice understands how important it is for a hospice patient to live with comfort and dignity. Through skilled nursing care, counseling, support, and education, we help patients and families live each day with meaning and purpose. Programs like We Honor Veterans, Sentimental Journey, Pet Therapy, Massage Therapy, and Music Services can help add life to days. Cares Health Rice Hospice serves a 15-county area and has a satellite office in Benson. Visit careshealth.com/hospice.
Prairie Five Community Action Council provides aging services to Swift County. We have Alzheimer's Association and AARP community educators for memory loss presentations and written resources. We offer caregiver consultations, Medicare counseling, a tablet lending library, and user services. If you have questions or concerns on aging, don't hesitate to call me, Laura Thomas, at 320-226-8861. Services funded in part by a grant from the Southwest Initiative Foundation.
My name is Shelley Versable with Lutheran Social Service. Caregivers who are caring for someone 60 years of age or older, certified caregiver coaches provide personal caregiver coaching and counseling, help with referrals, education, trainings, emergency care planning, caregiver support groups, grief and loss discussion groups, and regular phone call check-ins. Please consider teaming up with LSS to become a community volunteer today. Your local coordinator phone number is 507-829-3298 and visit our website at lssmn.org.
If you're considering home health care services to assist with personal care, household cleaning, or home nursing, or want to transition into assisted living and don't know where to begin, contact Swift County Human Services to set up a MnChoices assessment. The MnChoices assessment can help determine the services you may be eligible for, assist with access to those services, and identify public programs that might cover those costs. It can also identify other options if you don't qualify for publicly funded programs. To see if you're eligible, call Swift County Human Services at 843-3160.
Scandi Haven Village, located in Benson, provides a safe and comfortable living environment for anyone needing specialized memory care services. Our memory care unit offers safe and secure apartments, along with the central dining, living room common areas, and daily activities. Scandi Haven Village has a caring, supportive, and well-trained staff to provide your loved ones with the care they need. For more information or to have a tour, please call Jane Tilkey at 320-843-4728. Scandi Haven Village. Caring for those who cared for us.
Let's take a moment to touch on scams.
Oh, boy. Just a moment? This is a day conversation here.
So what are, I guess, gosh, like you said, we could talk about this for hours, but what are some of the biggest red flags to watch out for, not only for ourselves, but also if we are concerned that somebody else may be being taken advantage of or exploited?
Biggest things that I always tell people is if it's too good to be true, it's a scam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody has seen this or heard much about it, but about 3 months ago, I actually received a scam call on my phone, which we ended up putting it up on our Facebook account because I had won, I think it was $4.2 million.
Oh.
And, you know, they wanted me to go get my checkbook because they needed the routing number to put the money in. And, you know, so I ended up playing that off for a while as we recorded it. We put it on video on our Facebook. But, I mean, it is. If it's too good to be true, it's a scam.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different ways they get you. There's the grandpa scam. That's where your supposedly grandchild calls you and says, hey, I'm in Georgia and I'm in jail and I need $5,000 bail. Please talk to the investigator. And then somebody will come on with a accent and say, you know, yeah, he's doing something wrong. We caught him. He's arrested. You need to send $5,000. Go immediately to the nearest wire station where you can wire money. You know, usually it's one of the big box stores or a grocery store, and, you know, send it to this account.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, normally it's whenever that has happened, the money has been sent overseas. It's untraceable to the point of origin on where they're going.
If people are maybe questioning, is this legitimate, or what about this sweepstakes offer that I've received in the mail, or claiming that I'm a winner? Is it okay for people to give you a call to check and see if it's something they should be participating in?
Yes. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Feel free to call us anytime. And I do say anytime, night or day. My office is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have had people say, well, I received a call last night at 3 a.m. and I might have given them something. And now it's 10:30 the next morning. And that's the other biggest thing is if the scammer wants you to give them any information, like your banking routing number, your social security, your date of birth, your full name, anything. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the biggest thing is you never give that information out to anybody unless you absolutely know exactly who the person you're talking to personally. Mm-hmm. Then I still don't give it out. The other thing is with scams, especially like if you're a winner of something, you know, congratulations, you just won $4.2 million. But in order for you to get this, you have to send us a money order for $52,000 first. And then, that just covers the taxes.
Sure.
Well, everybody who I've always talked to who have actually won something on the lottery, the taxes are taken out of the money before you get it. Mm-hmm. You don't personally pay that taxes. Mm-hmm. So if they're asking for money or, you know, they're giving you a brand new car because I had $4.2 million and a brand new 2020 car they were going to give me. It wasn't a 2022. It's like, well, then I don't want it. You know,
their script was old.
Yes, exactly. That it just shows that it's definitely a scam. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the other new ones now is go buy $1,000 in gift cards. Mm. And then once you do that, call us. So the person will go buy $1,000 in gift cards, call them, and they say, okay, now give us the number what's on the front. Okay, mm-hmm. So they give them the number that's on the front. Then they say, okay, scratch the back off and tell us what the code is on the back. And they do that. Well, once that happens, they've got all the money that was on the gift card. We have that probably on a weekly basis.
Oh,
now.
No.
Yep.
So if I'm concerned that somebody is maybe sending money to a scammer, how should I go about reporting that, or what should I do in that situation?
So in that situation, you can start with the family. Mm-hmm. If you're not a family member, start with the family and just say, hey, mm-hmm. you know what? I seen that your mom was getting a whole bunch of cash out or doing this or doing that. Just thought it was a little odd or something like that, if you know them well enough. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, contact law enforcement. We try to step in and talk to individuals who are actually doing this. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, some of the times people don't believe us either. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the other thing is also, you know, it might be a start of dementia or something else too. So follow up with a MARC report.
One thing I have noticed throughout your comments is the importance of having conversations, of starting conversations. I think sometimes it can seem scary. Sometimes maybe we have a little bit of denial about something, but the sooner that we decide to start that conversation, the sooner that some of the solutions can begin.
Yeah, like you said, a lot of the people, the only way to get anything solved is by actually having the conversation. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. And during your conversations, you got to remember to have the empathy. Mm-hmm. You know, show the empathy and follow through with things like that. But then you also have to stay on the topic, because a lot of times I've had the conversations where people, you're trying to get something serious and all of a sudden it's like, hey, the Twins are playing. Should we watch that? It's like, no, we need to be focused mm-hmm. on it. You got to stay on that. Mm-hmm. And then I know we talked kind of briefly before we started, but if you're trying to get in the person to stop driving, there are other alternatives for them to get around. Mm-hmm. We have the Prairie 5 buses around our area. We have different options. Tell the family member that you're trying to get to stop driving, hey, you need to go to the grocery store? I'm going to the grocery store. You want to go? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you give them the options, so many different options.
Sheriff Holtz, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners today?
Oh, there's a lot, but it's been just great that this is coming out and we're doing this. It was once I was contacted about doing this, it's just like, oh, this is going to be awesome. I mean, it's very good for people to actually see and hear that there are things out there for you to do. You know, we might have a listener out there right now going, oh my gosh, that's my dad. Mm-hmm. You know, I really need to do something about this. Mm-hmm. You know, I just really hope it's a really good kickstart for people to help their family members, help their loved ones transition mm-hmm. on to the next step of, we're having some issues. It's something that we need to address, get the family involved, mm-hmm. get it addressed, and try to stay very objective to it, but not argue and fight about it.
Wow. Well, this has been wonderful, and we're only able to have this show because of wonderful experts, local experts like you that are willing to give their time to make sure that people understand more about memory loss and what's important from their perspective. So thank you so much for being with us today, Sheriff Holtz. We sure do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
deciding to stop driving does not have to mean a loss of independence. When we return, we will learn all about our regional public transportation system from Prairie Five's coordinator, Emily Castaneda.
I'm Michelle Sonnabin, a member of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network, and I'm the discharge planner at Benson Hospital. Discharge planning is a service to help you arrange supplies, equipment, and services before you leave the hospital. If you or someone you care about are having problems with memory loss, we encourage you to see your provider at Swift County Benson Health Services. If you are looking for resources in our community on how to care for someone with memory loss, contact Michelle Sonnabin at the Swift County Benson Hospital, 843-1377.
Hi, my name's Lindsay, and I'm an RN for Divine Home Care. As a whole, home care workers provide a vital role in helping people with memory loss to remain as independent as possible, enabling them to stay in their familiar surroundings with their family and caregivers. Regardless of why your loved one is experiencing memory loss, we're here to help. We offer a variety of services to provide support to caregivers, families, and those experiencing memory loss. For more information, please contact Divine Home Care at 843-9178 or online at divinehomecare.com.
This is Betty Christensen from the Minnesota River Area Agency on Aging. We are happy to be members of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network. Our office assists communities to develop services to help older adults remain in their own home as long as possible. More information can be found by calling our office at 507-387-1256 or on our website at mnraaa.org.
Hi, this is Maggie from Countryside Public Health, where our mission is to facilitate a safe and healthy future for the residents of the counties we serve. I'm glad you're taking this opportunity to learn about dementia as we strive together to improve our understanding of each other and make our community stronger and more supportive of people struggling with memory loss, as well as their caregivers, friends, and families.
Welcome back to Shining a Light on Memory Loss. Prairie Five Rides is available to all members of our community. Transportation Coordinator Emily Castaneda joins us now. Hello, Emily, and welcome. Let's start with the basics of Prairie Five Rides. Who can request a ride, and how does a person go about doing that?
Hi, thank you for having me. Prairie Five Rides is available to people of all ages living in our five-county region, which includes Big Stone, Chippewa, Lac La Parle, Swift, and Yellow Medicine counties. It's super easy to schedule a ride as wherever you live and wherever you may be going. You can give us a call at 877-757-4337, which takes you to our dispatch office. And all of our dispatchers are very helpful and answer any questions that you may have on transportation and can get that scheduled for you.
It sounds like Prairie Five Rides does not only operate in the town of Benson, but a person could get a regional ride or maybe even out of state. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. We do operate a city bus within the city limits of Benson, but we also do go throughout the state of Minnesota and to eastern North and South Dakota. The city bus runs Monday through Friday from 7 to 5. And then our regional rides, we are also available Monday through Friday from about 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And we can bring you more locally from town to town, such as from Benson to Wilmer or from Montevideo to Appleton and such. But we also go to Watertown, South Dakota, Marshall, Wilmer, the Twin Cities for medical appointments. And Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we also bring passengers to the Knollwood Mall in St. Louis Park and the Minneapolis Airport for passengers that are traveling or visiting in the metro area. And it's just 25 cents per mile for seniors for a round trip.
What if there are three or four people that want to go shopping somewhere else for the day, or maybe, you know, go have a little adventure? How would the cost work for that?
They do all pay individually the 25 cents per mile. However, if a passenger needs an escort to go along with them, they would ride at no cost.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
Additional cost.
You mentioned the cost per mile if a person is taking a regional trip. What about a punch card for local trips?
For trips using the city bus service, it is $2 per one-way trip if you are paying cash for the ride. However, we do have punch cards available and monthly passes. And a senior punch card is just $15, and it has 16 punches on it.
Wait a minute. A senior punch card is $15 for 16 punches.
That is correct.
Wow, what a value.
And it's also great to know that we aren't available for just medical appointments. But as you said, you can go on a little outing. You can go visiting, social engagements, shopping. For all purposes, we are available.
It's so wonderful to have a resource like this right in town. So, Emily, maybe you could share a little more information with our listeners about how the Prairie Five Rides transportation system makes travel easier for people with memory loss and their caregivers.
Absolutely. It is our priority at Prairie Five Rides to make sure that passengers have a safe and reliable means of getting to where they need to go. And our drivers are really wonderful at helping out passengers and will help guide them from their doors to the lobby of where they're needing to go to if necessary. We encourage anyone who needs transportation or their caregivers to reach out to us with any questions they may have so that we can ensure that they have a good experience using Prairie Five Rides.
I've noticed that the buses that travel in town do have stairs. What if a person uses a walker or maybe has just had a knee operation and stairs aren't their thing?
Absolutely. All of our buses and vans are equipped with lifts or ramps. So it's anyone using a wheelchair or just needing who isn't able to use the stairs well can get onto the lift and easily board the bus.
Emily, you mentioned also the option for a companion rider. Could you give us a bit more information about that?
When the person is calling to schedule the ride, whether it is a passenger or the caregiver, all they have to do is let dispatch know that they need to bring an attendant along with them. And we will make that note in our system, and the attendant will ride along at no additional charge.
That is wonderful and really gives people peace of mind. So, Emily, is there anything else you would like the listeners to know about Prairie Five Rides public transportation system?
I would like everyone to know that we are always looking for volunteer drivers to help passengers in our communities to get to the services they need to. So for those who are interested in getting involved in our program, please reach out to us. And anyone who might have questions on the services we provide, any additional information, we are glad to provide that for you.
Wow. Thanks so much for joining us today, Emily.
Thank you.
The Benson Area Memory Loss Network would like to extend another thank you to our guests today for taking the time to share their expertise with us. We are lucky to live in a community with so many memory loss resources and experts. Sheriff Holtz mentioned making a MARC report. MARC stands for Minnesota Adult Abuse Reporting Center and is the place to report concerns about physical or emotional abuse or neglect. They can be reached at 844-880-1574. The MARC number is answered 24/7 and all reports can be made anonymously. On our next episode, we will feature a lawyer who will share about what needs to be in place for the memory loss journey from the legal perspective, and a librarian who will share about the wealth of resources and kits we have available for checkout right here in town. We'll see you next time, right here on 93.5 KSCR FM for Shining a Light on Memory Loss.
The Benson Area Memory Loss Network thanks you for joining us today. Please reach out to any member with questions, concerns, or for more information. You may also call the Alzheimer's Association at 800-272-3900. This line is answered 24/7 by a master's level clinician.